Unit 18, Civil Disobedience Movement.
Page 11.
Structure. 18.0, Objectives. 18.1, Introduction. 18.2, The Civil Disobedience Movement, First Phase, 1930-31. 18.2.1, Salt Satyagraha. 18.2.2, Dandi March. 18.3, Mass Movement. 18.4, The Civil Disobedience Movement, Second Phase, 1932-1934. 18.5, Let Us Sum Up. 18.6, Check Your Progress. 18.7, Books for Further Reading. Page 12, 18.0, Objectives. The purpose of this unit is to discuss briefly the different dimensions of the civil disobedience movement launched by Indian National Congress under the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi from 1930 to 1934. In 1930, Mahatma Gandhi started civil disobedience movement. Thousands of volunteers joined the movement, and on 12th March he began his famous Dandi March. It boycotted the 1930 Roundtable Conference in London. But the government used repressive measures, imprisoning many. However, after the first round table conference, Jayakar and Sapri intervened and the famous Gandhi Arvind Poet March 1931 was signed, according to which Mahatma Gandhi agreed to withdraw the civil disobedience movement in return for suspending repressive measures adopted by the government. Further, you will learn in this lesson that a conciliatory atmosphere was thus created and Mahatma Gandhi agreed to attend the second roundtable conference. But the conference failed to resolve certain outstanding issues, especially the communal award on which Jinnah refused to yield. Finally, the Congress suspended the civil disobedience movement with effect from 20th May 1934. 18.1, Introduction. Civil disobedience movement was an episode in the struggle of Indian National Congress against British imperialism. By then, India had grown skeptical about Britain's intention to implement her declaration regarding the grant of dominion status to India, and the Indian National Congress at its Lahore session 1929 declared that its goal was the attain of complete independence for India. To enforce this demand, Mahatma Gandhi started on 6th April 1930 the Civil Disobedience Movement, which aimed at paralyzing the British government in India by the mass performance of specific illegal acts. This policy of deliberately breaking laws was formally put into action when Mahatma Gandhi, accompanied by a chosen band of followers, marched from Sabarmati Ashram to Dandi on the sea shore and there broke the current salt act by distilling salt. The Indian liberals and a large section of the Indian Muslim stood aloof from the movement, but it caught the imagination of the common man and woman in India. Thousands joined in breaking such laws as they found convenient to do, and the whole country plunged into serious agitation. The government on its part took stringent measures to suppress the movement, and Gandhi and the Congress leaders and thousands of their followers were put into prison. Serious clashes between the supporters of the movement and the forces of the government took place. Industrial riots at places like Kanpur also broke out. This outbreak of violence alarmed Gandhi, who was absolutely convinced of the necessity of running the agitation on non-violent lines. The government also showed a desire for an accommodation by releasing them from prison. Gandhi and other Congress leaders and arranging direct talks between the Viceroy, Lord Irwin and Gandhi, which resulted in the Gandhi-Irwin Pact or truce, by the terms of which the civil disobedience movement was called, persons imprisoned in that connection. Page 13. Except those who were convinced of crimes of violence were released, and the Congress agreed to join the second session of the Roundtable Conference 1931. Mahatma Gandhi attended the second Roundtable Conference as the sole representative of the Congress. However, nothing could be achieved on account of the attitude of Mr. Jinnah. It was found that it was impossible to have an agreed formula with regard to the representation of the various communities. Mahatma Gandhi left the Round Table Conference in disgust. As soon as he reached India, he was arrested by the orders of Lord Willingdon. Wholesale arrest of Congress volunteers were ordered. Leaders were put behind the bars. In August 1932, Ramsay MacDonald, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, gave his famous communal award. This was modified by the Pune Pact. The Congress did not participate in the Third Round Table Conference. In March 1933, the White Paper proposals were published. In 1934, elections were held to the Central Assembly. The Congress decided to fight the election and was able to win a large number of seats. The civil disobedience movement was again suppressed. But it had not been in vain. It demonstrated how difficult a task it was for British to hold on to India with the vast mass of her people prone to disobey and to thwart British authority in India. Just 7 years after Gandhi had first voiced the Indian demand that British must quit India, Britain had to quit. 18.2 The Civil Disobedience Movement, First Phase, 1932-1931. In the Madras Chennai session held in 1927, the Congress had declared complete national independence as its goal. Nevertheless, all the parties' convention and later the Congress agreed to accept dominion status if granted on or before 31st December 1929. Failing this, the Congress resolved to pursue its goal of complete independence and organize non-violent non-cooperation including non-payment of taxes. In reply to the Congress demands, the Viceroy, Lord Irwin, declared on 31st October 1929 that the nature of issue of India's constitutional progress was the attainment of dominion status and the further announcement that a roundtable conference of all parties would be held in London to discuss the recommendation of the Simon Commission. As this fell far short of its demands, the Congress in its Lahore session held in December 1929 declared complete independence as its goal, resolved to boycott the legislatures and the roundtable conference, and took steps in launching a program of civil disobedience. Page 14. As the clock struck midnight on 31st December 1929, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, the President of the Congress, hoisted the national flag of India. Independence Day was celebrated all over India on 26 January 1930. This day, on which the solemn ceremony was repeated year after year, became a landmark in the history of India's struggle for freedom. The Congress committee also decided to launch a program of civil disobedience as a method of obtaining complete independence under Gandhi's influence. The Congress party recognized the most effective way of gaining freedom was through peaceful agitation. 18.2.1 Salt Satyagraha. The Congress working committee that met at Sabarmati from 14 to 16 February 1930 vested Gandhi with full powers to start the civil disobedience movement. Gandhi found that time was ripe and iron was hot. He announced the decision to open his campaign by opposing the Salt Act. Gandhi's choice of salt tax for his attack was ignominious. Gandhi decided to disobey the Salt Act, for it was the most ubiquitous and the most iniquitous of all laws in India. Poorest peasants suffered the most by the incidence of the Salt Tax. Gandhi therefore declared that he would defy the obnoxious Salt Act law himself first, and then that civil disobedience would follow. 18.2.2 Dandi March. Gandhi started the civil disobedience campaign on April 6 by his famous march to Dandi in western India to make salt on the seashore in defiance of the salt law regulations. On 12th March 1930, he left the Sabarmati ashram on foot with about 79 male and female members and covered the distance of 241 miles in 24 days. Throughout the long journey, Gandhi received homage and ovation which an emperor could envy. The villagers flocked from all sides, sprinkled the roads, strewed leaves on them, and as the pilgrims passed, sank on their knees. It was veritably a triumphant procession and served as a signal for a mass movement on a huge scale, involving mass strikes, the boycott of British goods, grave case of terrorism such as armory raid in Chittagong, and the setting up of parallel government in several places. The government adopted stern measures of repression. Dandi March lasted for 24 days. Gandhi reached Dandi on the morning of 5th April 1930. Soon after prayers, Gandhi and his satyagrahis broke the salt law by picking up salt lying on the seashore. Immediately after, Gandhi issued a statement. This war against the salt tax should be continued during the national week, that is up to the 13th April. Those who are not engaged in this sacred work should themselves do vigorous propaganda for the boycott of foreign cloth and the use of khadar. Page 15. Dandi March was not a mere march of 79 satyagrahis. It was symbolical of the revolt of 31 crore of Indians against the authority of the British. 18.2.3 Mass Movement. On 6th April, Gandhi violated salt law at Dandi and issued orders to start mass movement. Obeying his orders, the mass movement throughout the country began. The country took up the call most readily. Huge public meetings were held. Hundreds of government servants left their jobs. Thousands of students and even women began to participate in the movement. Very soon the movement was in full swing. Civil disobedience included violation of salt law, abstention from government services and educational institutions, picketing of liquor shops, opium dens and foreign cloth dealers' shops, and payment of taxes. There was ready response from the people. In Bombay, people boiled salt water, sold contraband salt and raided government salt depots. In Berar Forest, laws were violated, foreign cloth was boycotted and liquor shops were picketed. A campaign for non-payment of taxes and land revenue was started in the Midnapur district in Bengal and Gujarat. In the UP, salt manufacture went on with vigor. Motilal and Jawaharlal joined the campaign by selling salt in Allahabad. In Tamil Nadu, C. Rajagopalachari and 100 volunteers staged their famous march from Trichinapalli to Vedraniyam on 13th April 1930. The march began to the accompaniment of hymns and blessings of the priest. The masses responded in a marvelous manner. The marches reached Vedaniyam on 28th April and a campaign was established there. 2 days later, C. Rajagopalachari was arrested for violating the salt laws. As the salt satyagrahis were moving towards Vedaniyam, T. Prakasham and K. Nageshwar Rao broke the salt laws at Madras, Chennai, by making salt at the Marina Beach. They were fired and their cars were attacked in lieu of a fire. This attracted strong condemnation in the national press. A startle was organized in protest against the arrest of Nageshwar Rao on 22nd April. Hartal degenerated into demonstration. More and more satyagrahis, including women, were mercilessly beaten by the police. An all-parties meeting held on the Madras beach on 27th April was brutally dispersed by a troop of armed police. Madurai became the storm center of the civil disobedience movement in Tamil Nadu. The campaign was vigorous in Madras, now Chennai, Salem, Vellore, Madurai and Vedaniyam in Tamil Nadu. Raja Mahendravaram, Mahampur, Kakinada, Ellora in Andhra, Palghat, Kalikolai in Kerala and Mangalore, Bellari, Udupi in Kannada area. British authorities were amused when the Dandi March was started, got alarmed when the agitation spread throughout the country. Page 16. Gandhi was arrested at Dandi on the midnight of 4th May 1930 and taken to Yerawada, Jain in Pune. Gandhi's arrest provoked forceful demonstration. Bombay, Mumbai was rocked by spontaneous Hartal. A huge procession was taken out. Public meetings were addressed from several platforms. The cloth merchants observed a six-day Hartal as a mark of their disapproval of Gandhi's arrest. In Pune, where Gandhi was interned, the Hartal was complete. At Howrah in Calcutta, there were disturbances and the police had to open fire to dispose the crowd. Abbas Tayabji, who continued the work of Gandhi as leader of the Salt Satyagrahis, was arrested on 12th April. It should be noted here that most of the Muslims kept themselves aloof from the civil disobedience movement. The Muslim League under Jinnah refused to join Gandhi, stating that the movement was only meant to make the 70 million Muslims of India dependent on the Hindus. Jinnah felt that to join the movement then would be to sign the dead warrant of the Muslims. The friction between the Congress and the League was swiftly growing deeper and was making Pakistan inevitable. With the beginning of the civil disobedience movements, the government of Lord Irwin in India began to feel the growing strength of the nationalist movement. The strike and the boycott hit the British community hard, and the government, unable to suppress the movement by force, adopted conciliatory measures. The Roundtable Conference, which met in November 1930, without any representative of the Congress, was adjourned on 2nd January 1931, and on 5th March the famous Gandhi-Irwin Agreement was signed. By this, the Congress agreed to give up civil disobedience and join the Second Roundtable Conference. With the government withdraw the repressive ordinances and released political prisoners, excepting those guilty of violence. 18.4 The Civil Disobedience Movement, Second Phase, 1932 to 1934. Gandhiji was chosen as the sole representative of the Congress at the second session of the Roundtable Conference, 7 September to 1st December 1931. By the communal question proved a baffling problem. And as no agreement was possible between Indian leaders, the Prime Minister, Mr. Ramsay MacDonald, had to take this ruling on 28th December 1931. Gandhiji found government repression in full swing. His request for an interview with the Viceroy was refused, and on 1st January 1932, the Working Committee of the Congress adopted a resolution for the renewal of civil disobedience and the boycott of British goods. On 4th January, Gandhiji was arrested. The government declared the Congress to be an illegal body and issued a number of repressive ordinances. They were openly defied and the government took severe measures against the resistance movement. According to Congress estimates, more than 120,000 persons arrested by the end of March 1933 and a dismissed record of wholesale violence, physical outrages, shooting and beating up, punitive expeditions, collective fines on the villages and the seizure of lands and property of villages is found in the India League Delegation Report issued in 1933. Page 17. It was at this unhappy juncture that the British government announced its constitutional proposals. The establishment of separate electorate for the depressed classes, which formed a part of the communal award given by Ramsay MacDonald in August 1932, provoked Gandhiji, then in jail, to undertake a fast. The result was the Pune Pact, 24th September, which nearly doubled the number of seats reserved for the depressed classes to be filled by a common joint electorate out of the panel of names originally chosen by them alone. The civil disobedience movement dragged on till May 1934, when it was virtually abandoned by the Congress. The British government also showed their cooperation by revoking the repressive ordinances and freeing all political prisoners. Thus, a more satisfactory atmosphere was created to give a fair trial to the Government of India Act of 1935. 18.5 Let us sum up. In this unit, we have discussed the central features of the civil disobedience movement under the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi started the civil disobedience movement as a fight to the finish, but it ended unfinished. True, the Salt Satyagraha developed into a mass movement and enveloped. The Gandhi-Irwin Pact promised much but achieved precious little. The little that it achieved was the suspension of the movement and Gandhi's participation in a second roundtable conference. The sole participation of the Gandhi in the conference could neither forge a common understanding among the delegates about the communal question nor wrest constitutional concessions. Flouting the terms of the Gandhi-Irwin Pact by the Viceroy Wellington and resumption of repressive measures compelled Gandhi to restart the civil disobedience movement. Further, we discuss in this unit that the civil disobedience movement collapsed because the masses could not sustain it for long in the teeth of government repression, oppression and suppression. Even individual satyagrahis suffered from a sense of exhaustion, exasperation and frustration. Gandhi's perception with the campaign for the removal of untouchability relegated the freedom struggle to the background. Page 18. The civil disobedience movement was suppressed, but the fighting fire of the people could not be crushed. The suppressed spirit of revolt against the British rule manifested itself more vigorously and violently later in the form of Quit India movement. 18.6. Check your progress. 1. Answer the following in 6 sentences each. Number 1. Dandi March. Number 2. Swadeshi movement. Number 3. No tax agitation. Number 2. Answer the following in 20 sentences each. Number 1. What do you know about the civil disobedience movement? What was its result? Number 2. How and why did the Congress change its demand of dominion status to Purna Swaraj for India? 18.7. Books for further reading. Number 1. Tara Chand, History of Freedom Movement in India. Number 2. Mukherjee, Haridas and Uma, The Growth of Nationalism in India. Number 3. R.C. Mazumdar, History of Freedom Movement in India. Number 4. J.M. Brown, Gandhi and Civil Disobedience, The Mahatma in Indian Politics. S. Mir Samiullah.